Hello, 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 me lovelies. Tis I, Richard Dixon, Talk995, Talk995.com, coming to you live from the Dixon Mansion. A house that I saved up for. I did. I put away a lot of money. I was waiting. I was lurking. I was really interested in buying myself a house, and I wanted to do it in 2020. Little did I know a pandemic was suddenly going to hit. And I had to, at some of the places where I was looking at the houses, we had to don the mask and use the hand sanitizer and plastic gloves and all of this stuff. But eventually managed to track down this beautiful place. All right, I didn't do it alone. Monica Thatch, Keller Williams Trustful. Monica Thatch, Keller Williams Trustful. You know, I just read an article about how the housing market is so tight right now. It's crazy. There are fewer houses on the market than there have been in pretty much any year in my life at this point. So what exactly do you do? Well, for one thing, when you put your house on the market, you want to make sure you're getting the top dollar price for it, right? And then you want to make sure that you have a place to go, like you can buy a house somewhere. Having a qualified real estate agent like Monica Thatch, Keller Williams Trustful, is essential to this operation. 229-1865, 229-1865. You could list your home with anybody, right? It's a red hot market. I could list my house with anybody. Why would you want to list it with somebody who doesn't know what they're doing? List it with somebody who's got a lot of experience and is going to get you the best price and sell to the right people. And then, of course, help you find the home of your dreams. 229-1865. She's my real estate agent. She ought to be yours as well. Lost a listener over that break. Lost a listener. Went away forever. Never coming back because I mistakenly said the 28 days later and 28 weeks later were 1990s movies. They actually came out in the early 2000s. Oh, my God. I wish that I had not gotten that wrong.
You should just give up your whole radio career.
I should. I'm walking away in shame now. I got a fact.
Commit Harry Carey. You know, that's
what I'm
saying.
This is a nightmare. This is the worst experience ever. How can I go on living having gotten that piece of information incorrect? You know, if that's the worst it gets, and it's not, trust me on this, I get stuff wrong all the time. You know why? I talk 3 hours a day, 5 days a week. Try it yourself sometime. See how that goes for you. Anyway, 2002 on 28 days later, 2002. Generally, I try to remember where I was when I watched something to sort of gauge what year it came out. And in that particular case, I picked the wrong apartment. I was watching it on, pay-per-view or on a premium channel. So it was after it had been in theaters. And my mind went to the wrong apartment. That's all. It's the whole reason why I got that date wrong. We all have our own means of doing things. Yeah, just by example, this is sort of strange because I saw this pop up the other day. Somebody on social media asked this. Explain the process that you go through, 48 plus 27. David Sears, you're very good at math. 48 plus 27, explain the mental process you go through to get the answer to that question.
All right, 8 plus 7 is 15. Carry the 1. 1 plus 4 plus 2 is 7, 75.
So you actually draw this like in your head, like a little math problem on a piece of paper.
Yeah. It's just the way I do it. I don't know
okay.
why.
No, everybody does it differently. I would take 2 from 27 and put it with 48 to make it a clean even 50, because 50 plus something is a whole lot easier to do, and in this case it'd be 50 plus 25 equals 75. Other people would take 3 from the 48 and put it on the 27. You know, some people would do it just the way you do it. They would say, wait a minute, 40 plus 20 is 60, and 7 plus 8 is 15. 60 plus 15 is 75. Everybody has a different way of doing that, right? Everybody has a different way of remembering things. Where were you when this happened? Well, let me see. I'm picturing the moment. What was around me? I remember where I was when the space shuttle exploded, the Challenger explosion, right? You know, I remember where I was on September 11th, 2001, because I can kind of picture where I was and what was around me at the time. And in this case, I just happened to pick the wrong place. It happens. Why do restaurants serve free bread? Wouldn't you think that restaurants would want you to show up and order as much food as humanly possible? I mean, there are frankly times when I go, I'm not ordering an appetizer because I'm going to fill up on bread. And there's nothing you can do. But you know what? Once I finish with this bread, I'm going to order some more bread. Hey, bring some more bread. I love the bread. I want more bread. Depends on where we are, of course. Texas Roadhouse. Oh, fantastic bread.
Dude, that was, again, thank you for that. That was what we used for on our vacation. We went to there because the gift card you gave me for Christmas. And
yeah, more than one.
We destroyed that bread, man. We just ate it.
It's so good, man.
The cinnamon butter is just so awesome.
And it's disgustingly full of calories, but you don't think of it that way. You're just, this isn't even a meal. This is just the opener, you know? Yeah. I mean, two pieces, three pieces, don't even think twice about it. I love the bread at Outback Steakhouse. They give you that that huge knife to cut it with, and it's sort of the pumpernickel loaf, right? I don't know if it's pumpernickel, but it's brown bread, and it's so delicious. So why do they serve it? What would the thought process be? Why are restaurants serving bread when their hope would be that you would order a lot of food? Well, the fact is this. There's a couple of different theories on the subject. Number one relates to tradition. Restaurants and taverns used to serve just one meal with an expensive protein, and that allowed customers to fill up on bread so they'd be eating less of the costlier main course. When menus started offering more variety, people still expected the bread. That's one way of looking at it. Here's another. Others speculate restaurants wanted to keep consumers from becoming hangry, a.k.a. that irritability that you get related to hunger while you're waiting for your order to arrive. Give you something to do, you know? Give you something to do. More plausible culinary explanation is that serving bread is an opportunity for an eatery to combine hospitality with freshly baked bread to act as an introduction. I've always liked to put bread and water out right away, and I think it's an opportunity to make a really good first impression. Portland-based chef Chris Israel told Star Chefs back in 2011. Israel added that the cost is amortized through repurposing leftover bread in the form of croutons. Okay. Whatever the reason may be, I'm glad they do it. I don't sit around at home and eat bread. It's pretty rare for me to just go, I think I'll get some butter and some bread and sit down and feast on that. It almost never happens, frankly. Can probably count on two fingers the number of times it's happened in my life. I go to a restaurant, suddenly I become bread crazy. I need to have bread. Where's the bread? Is a waiter going to bring me some bread? You just sat down, sir. Give me the bread!
To me, I think the end-all, be-all of bread is the Olive Garden. Those rolls.
They're breadsticks.
Those breadsticks, oh, yeah. That's the end-all, be-all. And then when you get like fettuccine Alfredo or one of the really cheesy white sauces, you sop it up with that. It's just amazing. It's why you put on 400 pounds.
It's one of the things that I do love about the Olive Garden. I love their bread. I love their salad. I love their soup. Everything else can pound sand. I did have some pretty good cheese mozzarella, fried mozzarella last time I was there. But everything else was kind of...
Dude, when I find out that everything comes pre-packaged and just throw it in a boiler, they don't even that kind of ruined it. I was like, it's an Italian kitchen. Like, there's grandmothers back there. Nope.
Right.
It's all pre-packaged.
They sell you on that whole Tuscany thing. Oh, we send our chefs to Tuscany. You spelled Tucson wrong. That's not where they're going. They're going to Tucson to learn how to boil plastic packages of food. Okay? You are probably too young to remember Quincy's and the Big Fat Yeast
Roll. Oh, no. No. Oh, those were huge in Florida. We would go to the Sizzler and what was the other one? There were three of them that they were like these buffet steakhouses.
Ryan's?
Was it yes, Ryan's. Yeah. That's the one I was thinking about.
I don't know what it is. Quincy's steaks were mediocre at best, okay? I mean, when you've had a really good steak, when you've been to a Fleming's, you've been to a Ruth's Chris, you know, you've been to a Del Frisco. If you've never been to a Del Frisco, save up. Get a second mortgage. Go. You'll love it. You'll really appreciate it because it's a fantastic steakhouse. Probably the best I've ever been to. They don't have one around here, but I went to the one in Orlando and oh my God. But, Quincy steaks didn't have to be great. The yeast rolls more than made up for it. The yeast rolls were the absolute. Plus, it was like a buffet. You'd order a steak and then you'd go and you'd get all your side dishes off the buffet. Load yourself down with whatever the hell you wanted. Fill up the rest of the way on the Big Fat Yeast Roll and the huge, you know, jet ski parking sized glass of sweet tea that they would give you. And then go back to work in the afternoon and try to actually get some work done instead of falling fast asleep. Parrot Structural Services bringing you portions of today's show. If you have got a foundation problem, these are the guys to lend a hand. ParrotSS.com, Parrot Structural Services, 668-2626. They've been at it for a really long time, and this helical pier system that they use is fascinating because it drives down and hits the bedrock and makes sure that your structure, with a life of the structure warranty that they give you, is going to stay right where they put it. And, given the fact that the helical piers are made locally here, the money stays in town, then I absolutely love that fact, too. Integrity, experience, financing available, they're licensed, they're bonded, they're insured, they're E-Verify compliant. These are the guys that you want to trust. Parrot Structural Services, 668-2626, ParrotSS.com, back in a flash. It's 115, Talk995, Talk995.com. To the Birmingham Broker phone lines we go, where Ken is in Arundel. Ken, you're on Talk995. What's on your mind, man?
You guys brought up the bread at Olive Garden. I absolutely love that stuff. In fact, the only thing I ever want whenever I go to Olive Garden is their salad and that marvelous bread. Mm. If I didn't have good sense, I could actually eat until I made myself sick on that stuff. But I've never done that because
I have
no way to quit. But
I've done it.
Well, I can't fault you for it because I have come close, and I mean it's delicious. It is just marvelous. I don't need any of their soup. I don't need any of the other Italian stuff. Just give me that salad and bread, and just keep it coming. And I love their sweet tea. As far as the big stupid question of the day goes, I guess if I could have one item, if I had to start with one item at a time, I love fried chicken. Now, and if it wasn't on the menu, I would maybe have steak or possibly fried shrimp. I can't make up my mind.
Food available in the world today, Ken. They've got to have fried chicken. They've got to.
It's
a food, and it's available in the world. So that's the first place you had the fried chicken station. I don't blame you.
Okay.
What are we going for? Are we going for the leg, the breast, thigh, what?
I love legs and thighs, and I don't. And I like wings as well because there's more meat on those wings than a lot of people think. So
I would agree with that. Yeah, you dark meat guys. See, I agree. So much of the flavor is in the dark meat. It's just disturbing to me that we treat it like it's trash or, it's got a few more calories. Yeah, very few more calories, but all the flavor is in there. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love the dark meat.
So often chicken breast, especially fried chicken breast, is, you get chicken-flavored tennis shoe. It's just hard.
It can get dry. I'm on board with you there. Thank you for the call, sir. Appreciate it. There's Ken, fried chicken man. I can go for some fried chicken. I haven't eaten fried chicken in like forever. Let's talk to Robert on a cell phone. Robert, you're on Talk 995. What's going down?
Hey, Richard. You were talking about the bread thing. I've worked in the industry for years in steakhouses. And one of the particular steakhouses, one of the first ones I started out with, they used to serve the steak and all you could eat shrimp, $6.99 back in the 80s. Well, the bread and the water thing on the table is to get you to eat more of that, which costs less than eating all the little shrimp, the little trays at a time. Mm-hmm. You do that in the summertime with a regular size straw for your soda or your drink. In the wintertime, though, you get a bigger straw, and they give you a little less bread to try to keep you in there so that the damn restaurant don't look empty.
Mm-hmm. I understand that if you're serving all-you-can-eat food, but even at places where they don't serve that, they're still giving you the bread up front. And it's pretty rare that I order an appetizer nowadays.
It's just a thing that rolls across the industry. Everybody wants to kind of be the same. They want to give you the same comfort when you sit down. But the biggest part is most of the places that had something that was that and all-you-can-eat, bread would fill you up with the water.
Oh, yeah.
And like between winter and summer, in the summertime, they would give you a smaller straw or a bigger straw in the summertime because you would drink more and you would drink faster. In the wintertime, restaurants would be a little slow, and nobody wants to go in a place that looks empty, so they switch it up the other way around and take it the other way.
Beautiful. Thank you for the call.
And longer.
Thank you for the insight, Robert. We appreciate it. Robert with the scoop from having worked in the industry. I don't know. I got to say, it's a weird thing in America that we eat food before we have food, isn't it? I mean, try to explain that to somebody.
It's an amuse-bouche. That's French. They do that in France, the amuse-bouche.
But I'm thinking about, you know, the third world countries that you have to try to explain to people. What's an appetizer? It's the food we eat before we eat our actual food. What do you call it? It's just food where we come from, and sometimes we don't get it. Oh, okay. Well, we get it. We get it three times. So we have the food we eat before the food, then we eat the food, then we have that thing called dessert. What's that? That's the food we eat after the food. Oh, no wonder you're so fat. Yeah, that would explain why we're so fat.
You left off the you've got the food you eat before food, then you've got the salad and soup, then you've got the entree, then you've got the dessert. So you get four things.
Is it weird, by the way, that for my own big stupid question of the day, one of the first answers that leaps to mind for me is salad. I know that's wrong, but I am programmed to eat salad before I eat anything else. If I'm going to eat, I'm going to eat salad first. If I'm going to have a salad, and I've had so many people make fun of me at Pizza Hut buffets, which I don't think they even exist anymore. But I used to go straight to the salad bar. People are like, you got a whole plate full of pizza over here. There's six pizzas. What are you doing? I know, but I got to have some salad first.
You and Tim Melton, you love your salad bars.
I do. I really do. And Pizza Hut had a good one, man. They had fresh green peppers. They had mushrooms. They had onions. Everything I love. Good croutons. They had the kind of French dressing I really like. They'd usually have broccoli on there. Pretty much everything I like. Little cheese, little bacon bits. Oh, count me in.
My dad points out that John Panette says salad is what you get before you eat your food.
Okay, that's one thing that you could get, but also appetizers are something that you get before you eat your food. yeah, it's hard to believe America's overweight, isn't it? With all this food that we have flowing around and cheap too. I mean, this is what we advertise. We throw it at people on their television screens all day and all night. Oh my God, this is nonstop and it's cheap. Watch this. You can get two for this low price. You can get three for this low price. Bring a friend or better yet, eat it all yourself.
Well, I mean, you've got that great deal going on for that local Birmingham burger shop today, 75-cent burgers. So,
jeez, really?
Where's 75th anniversary of Milo's?
Oh, that's at Milo's. Yeah, everybody goes to Milo's except me. I don't really like them. Nonetheless, 75th anniversary. Congratulations, Milo's, on making it to 75. That's a pretty big deal. Best chicken fingers I ever ate, by the way, at Milo's. No question about it. At the same time, you know, I talk about this. excuse me. Like it is a purely American thing. But one of the reasons why I can't wait to go to Italy is because their meals last like 3 hours. Now, the difference there is that they really take their time. They'll bring you an antipasto, and you are supposed to linger over that for 45 minutes. Then they will take it away, and they will bring you the next thing, okay? And you have like a wine or a beverage that you pair with every course. I ate at this. It was this great Italian restaurant in Lake Mary, which is right up there by Windermere Estates, which is where Tiger Woods lived. I mean, basically right. We were maybe a couple of miles from his house at the time that we were at this particular Italian restaurant. And it's closed now, sadly. But they gave you the Italian experience. And you didn't go there unless you had 3 hours to kill. Not only would you get all of these different courses brought out one at a time, but you would get a little shot of limoncello, chilled limoncello between each course, which I thought was awesome. It's a palate cleanser. Okay. And by the end of the meal, you've had four of those because there were five courses and there was a limoncello between each one. And you're feeling a little loopy and you're wondering if maybe you shouldn't call a cab to get home because you also had a couple of Peronis. But then you realize you also ate all that bread and all that pasta and it's slurping up all of the alcohol that you have in your body. And by the time you step out into the bracing air, guess what? You're sober again. Mike is on a cell phone. Mike, I got 45 seconds. They're all yours. Take it, baby. Go.
All right. Real quick. The roughage that you eat first, the salad, I do the same thing. It is roughage. Your body craves it so that everything will pass smoothly.
Aha. Uh-huh. That explains it.
It's the truth.
That explains
it. Hey, I'm an old guy, and that's what my mother told me. Hey, guy, I love listening to you.
She would know. Thank you, Mike. I appreciate it. For the longest time, I could not eat salad. In ninth grade, the school lunch was so bad, but they had a salad bar. So I would eat a salad every single day. All during ninth grade, I ate a salad for lunch every single day. At the end of ninth grade, I didn't eat a salad again until I was about 26 years old. I was so saladed out. Now I love them again. Okay. It's First News Time. Richard Dixon, Talk 99.5, talk99.5.com. Stick around. You know, I got a good, I'm trying to get this project done this weekend. I hope I can get back to the smoker. I haven't posted a video of a project or a recipe in a really long time, and I really want to. So I'm hoping that I can get on this smoker refurbishment. You know, I got waylaid by a couple of things. SHG is coming along nicely. She's doing much better. Had a little bit of a setback with her hip replacement this past Tuesday, but is back on track and is improving all the time. And I realized I used to be a do-it-yourselfer about almost everything. I mean, it was a pretty rare time that I would go buy something already done or hire something done for me. I've rebuilt houses from the inside out, you know? And that's one of the things that all of us at Talk 99.5 have got an affinity for. Leland and me and Murphy, you know, every one of us has swung a hammer. Every one of us has worked with fairly complex power tools. And every one of us knows how to use them. It just becomes a question of at what point you decide you don't want to anymore. And for me, that was about a year and a half ago when I decided I just didn't want to mow my own lawn anymore. I'd had it. I was done with it. It became tiresome. It stopped being enjoyable and just became a chore. And when that happened, I had a local neighborhood kid mow my lawn for a while. And then I got Chance Landscaping and so much more to come do it for me when I moved to this location because it's, you know, in their neighborhood. And wow, what an amazing thrill it is to have professionals mowing your lawn for you. It just, you don't have to worry about getting it done anymore. Somebody else is going to take care of it for you. You don't have to worry about making it good anymore. I don't have to worry about things like making sure there's oil in the mower or making sure that I wash all the gunk off the mower when I'm done or sweeping up or cleaning up or blowing everything away that needs to be blown away, trimming and edging and all the stuff that has to happen. If you really want to make your lawn look good, somebody else does it for me. That's somebody else's Chance Landscaping and so much more. You should call them, too. 205-821-7015. They trim my shrubs. They take care of my backyard. They do a lot of great work back there as well. I just love these guys, and you will, too. 205-821-7015, 205-821-7015, Chance Landscaping, and so much more. Talking about a variety of issues, not the least of which is why they serve bread in restaurants. Yeah, that's right. We're covering all the major topics here on Talk 99.5 today. But right now, Jordan is on the Birmingham Brooker phone line, and he has some sort of trivia piece for me. Jordan, you're on Talk 99.5. What's up?
Hey, Richard. Didn't you spent a long time in Montgomery, didn't you?
I did. I lived there for about 7 years, and I worked there for about five, yeah.
Do you remember the restaurant, the Jolly Ox?
I do remember the Jolly Ox, yeah. I remember eating there once and got the most undercooked shrimp that I've ever had in my life. I'm sorry, that's not true. It was bacon-wrapped shrimp. The shrimp was done. The bacon was damn near raw. It was like, oh, what are you guys doing back there?
Yeah. Well, I had my first job at the Jolly Ox. I was the Hobart man. Ran the Hobart machine. So, anyway, I guess a curious fact is that was a franchise.
Yeah.
And the franchise was actually the Steak and Ale.
Yep.
And in Alabama, they couldn't name their restaurants the Steak and Ale. They had to go by the Jolly Ox or some other name that didn't have a reference to ale in its name. So I just always thought that was interesting.
That is interesting. I ate at a Jolly Ox that used to be over by Brookwood Village as well. One of the first times that we ever got together as a team on Rock 99 back when I was working there. So, that would explain a whole lot because it had all the same sort of trappings as a Steak and Ale. It had the same building design as a Steak and Ale. But I did not know that was... I knew that they were tied in some way, but I didn't know it was because they couldn't use the name Ale in the title, which kind of seems like an Alabama thing, doesn't it?
Yeah. Exactly.
I could see that. Thank you, Jordan.
Anyway,
I appreciate the call. Take care, man. Let's talk to Dave and Jasper. David, you're on Talk 99.5. What is on your mind?
Good afternoon. Just wanted to share a story with you in regard to salad bars. Years ago, I'm visiting my father. My parents in Kentucky, a small town outside of Lexington, and we're at this restaurant. It's kind of a upscale casual. It's called the Cattleman's. It is a small chain, I believe, based out of the Kentucky area. Maybe
sounds familiar. I think I've heard of this, yeah.
It's pretty tasty. I walked up the salad bar, and they do have an impressive salad bar. I'm a salad bar guy. If it's impressive as well, I like to load up and what have you, like you mentioned earlier. So I'm up there. My kids are running through it. And this probably 10- or 12-year-old young man, cowboy, hat on, boots, dirty, been working on a farm somewhere, I'm sure, steps up to the salad bar. He's behind me, and I'm noticing he's loading his plate up with about 3 pounds of bacon, just bacon. Then he moves over to the other side of the salad bar and then puts about 1.5 pounds of cheddar cheese on top of the 3 pounds of bacon.
Okay.
He moves to the end of the salad bar and loads it up with about 1/2 bottle or 2 of ranch dressing. I don't forget the smile on his face. I said, that looks pretty tasty. And he's like, it's the best ever. And that was the only time I've ever seen that. And I kind of wanted to share that because it does sound good. And it was quite interesting. Only time in my life I've ever seen it. Love the
bacon,
show, guys. Appreciate it.
Cheese and ranch dressing. Thank you for the call, David. I appreciate it. I don't think I could do that. I don't think I could do bacon. I could do bacon and cheese. Not sure that I would throw the ranch dressing on top of it. I don't
ranch
know.
Makes everything better, bro. Go with it.
I like ranch. I'm one of those guys. I'm real mild with my mayo. I like mayo, but I don't like it slathered on. And ranch is sort of the same way. I like ranch, but a little goes a long way with me. So I might
see. I would just douse it in ranch.
Yeah,
totally.
I know
douse
people.
It in ranch.
I know people who love that. I know people who love that. I am not one of them. Let's talk to Bob in Deutschland, über alles. Bob, you're on Talk 99.5. What's on your mind, man?
Hello, sir, dear Richard. Say, buddy, you said one food or one meal?
One food that you can grab off the buffet. The first thing you go for, with the understanding that every food available in the world is there, but you can only take one food at a time. So what's the first thing that you go for?
Well, I'd say a Ziegler steak cooked by you, or a lobster tail with butter, plenty of butter,
yeah,
and plenty of mashed potatoes.
Seafood is high on my list for this as well. I really love seafood, and I don't get to eat it very often, not just because SHG is allergic, but because I just don't find myself around it very often. Now, when I go to the beach Memorial Day weekend, trust me, I'm going to stuff my face with it. That's a guarantee. I will be chowing down a lot of seafood. That's 100%.
Yes, sir, you like lobster?
I love lobster. I adore lobster. I love crab legs. I love shrimp.
Oh, yeah.
Only thing I don't like, I'm not a big fan of mollusks.
Have you ever seen the Dean Martin roast of Frank Sinatra?
I'm sure I have, yeah. I've seen most of his roasts, so I probably saw that one, yeah.
Well, it was a special hour long because if you didn't see it or you don't have it, I'm going to send it to you.
Oh, no, I can track it down. Believe me, I have access to all this stuff, Bob. I'm a special radio guy.
You are. I know that. That's why I keep calling. I love you, brother.
Thank you for the call, sir. Yep. Take care. There's Bob in Deutschland. Yeah, I don't know why. I think I would absolutely have to find my way over to the seafood section of that. If it's not salad, it's almost certainly going to be shrimp, and not even necessarily fried shrimp. You know, I love good hot boiled shrimp, and I've had to introduce a lot of people to this, even people in Alabama who have never tried it before. I'm like, you've never? No, you have to. You boil it and then you cool it off, right? That's the way that you do it because you make the shrimp cocktail. Nope. Eat it while it's hot. You'll be surprised at the flavors you're missing. Once you cool it off, you lose a whole bunch of flavor. Now you got to peel them. You got to rip the legs off. You got to, hopefully there's no head on there, but if you got to remove the head, you can do that. And then, pinch the tail and get that thing out of there. And a little bit of cocktail sauce. Oh, sometimes it doesn't even need that. Sometimes it doesn't even need the cocktail sauce. I could go for a big old plate of boiled shrimp just about any time. So that might be the first thing that I would go for. That or maybe some broiled shrimp, braised shrimp, grilled shrimp, put another shrimp on the barbie for me.
I would do shrimp cocktails, but boiled shrimp, I just think it's too much work. You got to shell the entire shrimp. And I'm just not a big, that's why I don't like crawfish. It's too much work for too little meat. Now, you want to make me crawfish etouffee? I'll let you make me crawfish etouffee. But I'm not going to work and go through all that just to get that little bitty squeeze of a tail.
I don't know. If you're good at peeling shrimp, it's not that difficult, and I'm pretty good at it. So I'm willing to go. It's no more difficult than getting at a salted-in-the-shell peanut, do you also find those too tedious to work with?
Peanuts you eat shell and all.
No, no, you eat shell and all. I actually get them out of the shell.
Shell and all, it's extra fiber and extra salt.
Yeah. They leave these things laying around in warehouses where rats run over them and pee on them. I'm taking the shell off, I'm just saying. And now you will, too, now that you've heard that. It's 1:41. Let's take a break. We'll continue. This is the weirdest Friday show ever. Is it me, or is this the weirdest Friday?
Oh, it's going to get weirder. Dr. Andy's coming up at 2.
Hot diggity dog. Stick around for that. Richard Dixon, Talk 99.5. Don't go away. Hey, hey, hey. Tis I, Richard Dixon, Talk 99.5, talk99.5.com. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for being a part of the shindig here. A joy, as always. Chuck Davis is my attorney. He is a really good one, too. I mean, look, he's a general practice lawyer. You know what that means. It means that he handles all kinds of different things, that there's no he's not one of these guys who's so specialized that he can't help in a sort of a general sense, is what I'm trying to say. If he were a doctor, he would be your family physician, okay? But he's a lawyer, so he's your family lawyer. So what do? You call him and you say, I have a conundrum here, and I need some help. And he says, come on in. Well, his receptionist does. Come on in. We'll make an appointment. You go. You talk to Chuck. That's who you talk to. You don't talk to a minion. You don't talk to an also-ran. You talk to Chuck. And you tell him what your situation is. And you know what happens? He tells you whether or not you've got a case. It's pretty sweet. He tells you whether or not you've got a case. And then, if you do have a case, you know what he does? He tells you whether or not he's the guy to handle it. Gotta love it. No representation is made that the legal services provided are superior to legal services provided by other attorneys. But I can tell you that if you have a situation where, oh, I don't know, there's wrongful death, personal injury, an automobile accident, a slip and fall case, medical malpractice, Chuck may very well be your guy. He also does things like wills, $99 simple wills right now. He does things like estates, contracts, divorce, custody, all of that. Chuck Davis Law, ChuckDavisLaw.com, 823-9992, 823-9992. That's Chuck Davis. He's my lawyer. He ought to be yours. Okay. Let's go back to the phones. B.A. is on a cell phone. My Stratego friend, B.A. You know, I used to try to get people to play Stratego. You know what I thought of? Stratego was a board game, and B.A. was just doing a thing about what's the greatest board game of all time on Facebook, because he's bored and he has nothing else to do in his life. So,
true.
I didn't take part because I didn't think that I'd be able to actually keep up with all of that, and I was right, I didn't. But you mentioned Stratego as being your favorite. Stratego was like an impatience person version of Risk, right?
Risk was
large and sprawling and involved, and it took a week to play, and everybody would always get tired before they'd even get close to being done. It was like Monopoly on steroids. And Stratego, you could sit down and you could play a game in a half an hour, 40 minutes, right?
Yes, beautiful game. My grandfather taught me when I was young, and Of course, at first, they're never good, but I became very good at it. And like I said, I can't find anybody to play it now. Every now and then, I'll beg my daughters to play.
But you and I will have to get together for a rousing game of Stratego once you remind me how it's played, because I haven't played since I was a child.
I'll take you up on that one next time I see you.
And one of my favorite episodes. One of my favorite episodes of The X-Files ever was a very young Fox Mulder and his sister, the one who got taken by aliens. And he's like, come on, you want to play Stratego? Play with me. And she's like, I don't want to play your stupid game. He's like, well, hurry up. The Magician is coming on. The Magician was a very short-lived series starring Bill Bixby as a magician who used magic to solve crimes, right? I was like, I so get Fox Mulder at this point. We're the same person.
That gives me a big kick, because every now and then you'll comment on something on Facebook. It's like he's always there, and he's always, like Santa Claus, he's always there and listening, but he just comes in every now and then, picks your spot. Hey, let's see, what the hell was I talking about? The seafood, the buffet.
Mm-hmm.
To me, it's almost a tie. It really depends. I would probably go and wait to see when it was freshly put in there, because these two things, I got to have them fresh.
Yeah.
And that is, it'll either be crab cakes or hot and sour soup. It has to be one of those two.
I understand both of those. Yeah, you want a crab cake that's just fresh out of the fryer. You do not want a cold old crab cake. Those breadcrumbs, they get kind of chewy. And yeah, no, I'm with you on that. And hot and sour soup is delicious under almost any circumstances.
Thank you, sir. Love the show. See you later.
Thank you for the call. There's B.A., my Stratego-loving friend. Let's talk about some of the, because we haven't gotten much food news today, as a matter of fact, but I've got some. You think I don't have some? Oh, you're so funny. Here's something that's probably worthy of a look, at least. Bojangles has brought back something called the Pork Chop Griller Biscuit. Remember pork, the other white meat? I love the pork chop, man. And they're apparently taking a good, juicy pork chop, marinated in a zesty dry rub seasoning, and serving it on one of their made-from-scratch buttermilk biscuits. Their biscuits are pretty good at Bojangles. They say that they're great. I think they're okay. They're, you know, not as good as some, better than a lot of others. But you put a piece of pork in there, and you've got my attention. I'm on board. I don't like their potatoes. But I do like their pork chop biscuit. I'm willing to give it a shot. Pringles has now just completely gone off the reservation with a deep-fried, pickle-flavored, wavy Pringle. Now you think, well, don't you like deep-fried pickles? Yes, I do, but I hate pickle-flavored potato chips. I don't know why. I love pickles. I love deep-fried pickles. You somehow combine the flavor of a pickle and a potato chip, and you lose me. And I love potato chips, so this doesn't make any sense at all.
Have you tried all of them?
Have I tried all of the pickle-flavored potato chips?
Because I think the Golden Flake one tastes really good.
Golden Flake was the very first one I ever had. I've tried this. I've mentioned this before. My partner and I in Montgomery, we were at a Super America, which they don't even exist anymore, but not far from my home, we were having a live broadcast to announce the unveiling of this new Golden Flake flavor, and it was pickle-flavored potato chips. And the truck backed up while we were there, and they came flying off, and they threw us a couple of bags, and I opened one and took a taste, and I looked at my partner, and I said, these things are never going to make it. And he took a bite, and he was like, oh, God, that's the worst thing I've ever eaten. So, strangely enough, they had two guys who hated pickle-flavored potato chips doing their remote broadcast to sell people on coming by to get their
and boy, were you wrong, because they are delicious.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no, people love them. I mean, I'm perfectly willing to admit that. I was in the wrong on that one. I just don't like them. And I've had those. I've had Lay's flavor. I've had
Is it just the artificial pickle flavor that gets you, or do you think it's something else?
I don't know. I love regular pickles, and I love potato chips. It seems like the two should be a match made in heaven for me, right? Doesn't work, though. For those of you who are wondering, and I know that people are wondering because they actually called me at home or texted me or Facebook messaged me last week going, well, how did that turn out? You didn't tell me. And David wasn't here, but I mentioned last weekend that I was thinking about air frying a steak. I had seen enough about this, heard enough about this, that I was seriously considering air frying a steak. I didn't get to it last weekend. I'm doing it this weekend. I'm going to do it. I'm making time for it. I'm setting aside some space in my Saturday. I'm going to air fry a couple of steaks. Now, I didn't buy top quality Mr. P's steaks like I normally would because I couldn't bear the thought of ruining a choice piece of meat like that. Choice. I should say a prime piece of meat like that if it turned out badly. So I'm trying it on a very mediocre piece of meat that I picked up at the local market. And if it turns out to be absolutely great, then somewhere down the line I'll do it on a Mr. P's ribeye or Mr. P's sirloin. But I'm going to give this a shot. I'll tell you how it works on Monday so you don't have to waste good money and your time air frying steak to find out if it sucks or if it's great. This, I'm willing to take the hit for the team. That's how I roll.